and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, and having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exceptions. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Our thought today is, be thou an example. And in this section he tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Webster defines example of one that serves as a pattern or model to be imitated or not to be imitated, as in a good example. A punishment inflicted on someone as a warning to others. Also, an individual so punished to be made an example of. Thirdly, one that is representative of all of a group or type. Fourthly, a parallel or closely similar case, especially when serving as a precedent or model. And an online dictionary says, one of number of things or part of something taken to show the character as a whole. For example, this painting is an example of his early work, or a pattern or model, as Webster defines, something to be imitated or avoided. So, we have some interesting things here which we'll look at. The pattern or model to be imitated or not imitated. Strong says this, the word here, example, is tupos. He says, definition, originally the mark of a blow, then a stamp struck by a die, a figure, a copy, an image, a pattern or model, a type prefiguring something or somebody. Comes from tupto, a die as struck, a stamp or scar, a shape, a statute, style, or resemblance. A sampler, a model, for instance, a fashion, figure, form, manner, pattern, or print. So we kind of get the idea here. When he tells him to be an example, he tells him to basically be a pattern, be a model for the believers. So we can see that this aspect of being an example can be good or bad. It can be positive or negative. So let's look at this warning sign of being an example first. 2 Peter 2, 6. We read, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So in Jude, the same thought comes forth in Jude 1, 7. Says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So we can see here that one of the early things that happened in the history of Scripture, Sodom and Gomorrah, these things were an example, but they were an example for what not to do. They weren't an example of righteousness or faithfulness. They were an example of what not to do, or a warning example. In Matthew 1:19, we have the same word. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, we understand this portion of Scripture, not willing to make her a public example, once again, was minded to put her away privately. Hebrews 4:11 says, Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, or in samples, as it says, same word, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the things that happen historically in Scripture, many things that we look at are examples of good. Many things are examples of bad. And most of the time it's an obvious parallel. So we'll get back to our reading dealing with Timothy's work here in just a minute, the words to Timothy. But let's look at some positive scriptures dealing with this subject. We looked at a few negative ones. Let's look at these. After Paul in his letter to the Philippians warned the brother about error and trusting in the flesh, he goes on to show them that it was the right thing to do. If that was the right thing to do, then he would have more reason than any of them to show pride. He talks about him being a Pharisee and so forth. We all know this scripture. But that is not what the truth demands. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This is what he was getting at. This is what Paul was driven by, that he may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship. He instructs the brethren there and us that we should follow this method. This should be the example that we follow. He does not push himself as the only one who follows, but he uses the word us. Here he shows that those who walk in the truth are to be their examples. Philippians 3, let's turn to 15 through 17. He says here, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. In Thessalonians, he talks about the same thing. If we turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse 6. It says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but, here's the point, to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So there were various little things, this aspect of walk and behavior, that Paul is telling them to make ourselves an example unto you. Do as I have instructed by the way of Scripture. So Paul in 1 Thessalonians make mentions of those who did follow the way of right. For he comments, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, that they would become themselves become examples. So remember your work of faith, labor, and patience in the sight of God, that they would become examples. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Peter in his book shows also the aspect of a servant in our service to our Lord. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. We read, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." And James would remind them who have gone, of those who had gone before them, and saying in James 5:10, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." So from the beginning of Scripture, we have many, many examples of righteousness, those who followed after righteousness, and those who followed after the flesh. And, you know, it is our point to learn from what we have read as the example. There's other uses. If you look up this word, tupos, there's other verses that use this same Greek word as examples. We'll go through a few of these. Titus 2, 6. 6 through 8. "Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Now, when we read all these things, and we're reading these scriptures dealing with these, you know, there's always something that says, just don't follow me, do this. He always gives out this is the things to do. "Likewise, exhorted to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern," same word, "of good works." We're supposed to show ourselves a pattern of good works, "and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, and he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." So once again, the example, the pattern of good work. And we understand when we looked at the definition of this word that that was one of the first things mentioned, a pattern or model. This is what we strive to be for our other brethren and our children as well. Acts 7:44. "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion," or this word, example, same word, tupos, "according to the fashion that he had seen." So Moses was given a vision of a plan, an example of that the tabernacle in the wilderness should be created according to a perfect pattern. Hebrews 8, 4 and 5. "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things." Those are different. That's a different word. "As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern," once again, "the example showed thee in the mount." Once again, these two sections here are talking about the same thing. Romans 6:17, the last one, says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form," same word, tupos, "that example, that pattern of doctrine which was delivered you." And of course, our greatest example of an example is Christ. In John 13:15, we see Christ sets about washing the disciples' feet to teach them about servitude. And he tells them afterwards, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." He gave them an example of servitude, of what we all should be one to another. We are not lords, but we are servants to one another. In 1 Peter 2, we read about dealing with authority and suffering, and Peter tells us this. 1 Peter 2:21 to 24. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The pattern and example that had been set down by Yahweh was to be shown in all the things of the law, all the things that would lead them to Christ. As we read in Galatians 3:24, "The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." This was the pattern. Christ is the greatest example that we have. So we go back to our reading in Timothy, and mainly the verse 1 Timothy 4 and 12, where he tells them again, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example, a pattern to the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and impurity." The phrase, "be thou an example," is an exhortation to be a type or pattern for all of us, for the believers to follow. Paul, who labored so much among the unbelievers, was an example for them. In 1 Timothy 1:16, we don't need to look at that. "And that he had once walked contrary to God, but had been forgiven of his sins, done in ignorance, and had completely reversed his course of life. Timothy, who worked among the believers, should be their example in the ways of godliness," which Paul explains in the next few verses. But when we look at the various things here that we see Timothy commissioned to do, to be an example of in word, conversation, charity, spirit, and purity, we're going to break these down. And once again, this is you know, what we are supposed to be. I mean, it was these words are to us to be that example within the brotherhood today. So in word, James says in 3:2, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." This is one of the most difficult areas, I think, in which to be wholly consistent in our calling. An aspect just in the simplest part of the tongue, controlling our tongue, can slip before we have an opportunity to consider the effect of what we say. For this reason, we should be many times slow to speak. I know I'm hot-blooded sometimes, and what comes out of my mouth quickly is can't be reeled back in most cases. The Scripture gives much detailed instruction regarding the bridling of the tongue, and the Scripture refers to a dozen or more different uses in which we betray our professed faith in lying, evil speaking, backbiting, tale-bearing, foolish talking, talking too much, talking proudly, answering in anger, flattery, so forth. These are things that are constantly gone over in Scripture. And there's a reason for that, because it's very, very easy, very common to get into that. But he should be an example in the Word, and also that he is teaching the truth. We need to make sure this Word that comes out of our mouth is the truth and backed up by Scripture and not some something else. So let us all consider the words of the psalmist in which he says in Psalm 17, David, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And we can see that for the truth that comes out of our mouth as well as just general speaking. So conversation is the next one, to be an example in conversation. The word seems to be synonymous with a word, but in reality it complements it, because we know conversation is correctly translated as like a manner of life. It's the way of living. The original Greek word refers to behavior. Inward has to do with speech, and in conversation has to do with our other activities that we make impressions upon others. Psalm 50:23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Conversation, our way of life, our walk. Ephesians 4:22-23. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The old man, the man of the flesh, the conversation, the way of life that we led, the manner of life in which we led then, is no longer to be imitated. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our life and follow that and make that our conversation or manner of our walk in life. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The next that Timothy is exhorted to be an example of is in charity. And we're all familiar with this word, the agape word, the truest love, self-sacrificing love toward others. It is best probably explained in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your lives in obeying the truth at baptism unto unfeigned loves, which is filio, of the brethren, see that you also love, this word is agape, divine complete love, one another with a pure heart fervently. The true love of the brethren is reached through successive stages. It's not something that one immediately feels, not something that you gain coming directly out of the waters of baptism, but is a feeling, is a spiritual directive which we must continually grow within us, greater and greater in our hearts, and there's no room for really anything else, for hate or strife or envy. The next one is spirit, which I think many versions eliminate. So we'll go on to be an example in faith. James states in James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Show that your faith is real. We do not give lip service to an ideal while making your personal decisions on another basis. Be consistent, live by our faith, live by our beliefs, that others may see what it really means to us. In Jude 1:3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is our goal, to earnestly contend for our faith, for the truth that we have, that is being nibbled away as we speak. We have a long list of faithful individuals mentioned in Hebrews 11, and we're very familiar. These men and women were able to do amazing things as a result of their faith. And by their wonderful examples in their lives, we should learn from both their failures and successes. The next section he tells him to be an example of is in purity. This word is hagnia. It's cleanliness. That's a strong definition. Cleanliness, the quality that is chastity, purity. James 1:27 tells us pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are given a garment at baptism that is white. It is up to us to keep it that way, to offer prayer for forgiveness of our sins, to keep himself unspotted from the world around us and from those who would demean the truth. A process of attainment which involves certain specific successive steps. We never attain perfect purity, but we make, you know, we're supposed to make a consistent effort. 1 John says, everyone that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he, or Christ, is pure. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James 4:8. The law and the relation of the priest to the service of the tabernacle stress ceremonial purity and cleanliness. We are the antitype, the holy priesthood in a sense, the fulfillment of the priestly ideal. It is our duty to purify our hearts and minds. In one of our last exhortations, we talked about teaching our children. Well, it's not enough to instruct our children in the Word of God, but the important part is how they best learn is by observing. That is, observing us. A scary thought, really. And when you think about it, you know, do we do what we teach? How is our life an example to our children, to our brethren in our ecclesia, to those outside? What is our pattern? What is our example to those about? There's an old adage that actually phrase that dates back from the 1600s says, do what I say, not as I do. Well, that's, you know, sounds a little self-deprecating, really. Do as I say, not do as I do. Well, how is somebody going to take that to heart? You know, if you say one thing and you do another. A picture or action is worth a thousand words. Are we a good example to our children and to those about us and how we keep the faith pure? Do we counsel them as to their goings and comings? In these times, it is difficult at best to know where to visit, to accept in the truth. In simpler times, I was talking with Brother Sid the other night that, you know, when I was young, we could go across the country pretty much anywhere and visit, stop in houses. It's very difficult anymore today. I mean, it's becoming difficult to know you know, about truth today. So, you know, we are an example. We are the ecclesia here. We are our children and brothers and sisters' keeper. It is utmost responsibility to be a good example. In conversation, in word, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do we do this? We don't do it by telling them, you got to do this always, but by showing them as well, by being that great example. Colossians 3:16 we'll end with, 3:16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We'll enter onto our memorial portion of our service this morning by the singing of hymn 105. The first begotten from the dead, lo, Jesus risen, his people's head, to make their life secure. Though they, like him, may yield their breath, like him they'll burst the bonds of death, the resurrection sure. Hymn 105. Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the undiminished statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. We talked earlier about Christ and the example that he left as regard to faithfulness. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2. We read this earlier. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And then he goes on to tell some of the things that he was a great example with. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It was not only the example of his perfect life that we are to remember today, but also the manner of his death. He was obedient to his heavenly Father in all things. He subjected his will to the will of Yahweh. And even though he understood the manner of his suffering and death, he pushed on and completed the task before him. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, very familiar verses. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is our perfect example, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of Christ, of the throne of God. Hebrews is a wonderful book dealing with Christ's superiority to the law and many other things. And in Hebrews 1:1, we read verses 1 to 3, we read this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This express image is an exact impress. He was God, Yahweh, manifest. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. We go on. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Let's turn to chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the high priest, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, also as Moses was faithful in all his house. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And lastly, Hebrews 7, 26 and 27. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. And we come to remember him today, the perfect example for us. The perfect example set forth in the manifestation of deity. Let's turn to Matthew 26. And we'll start at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, and saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Well, please stand, and we'll ask our brother Sid if he will offer prayer for the bread.
Great and eternal Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, Once again, we have the blessing and privilege of calling upon Thee. We pray that You would continue to bless us with such opportunities as this, the privilege of gathering around this memorial table to reflect upon Thy great love in the giving of Thy Son, and His love and obedience to Thee, and His love for us, and that He willingly laid down His life that we might be reconciled unto Thee. Indeed, it was a great work, and we understand and appreciate Thy part in making these things happen. We pray that You would be with all of our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, as they gather around this memorial table. May we all reflect upon the great accomplishment that has been made on our behalf, and let us strive to follow that example of our Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrating the love and consideration and concern for one another that He so beautifully displayed. We see in His life a life of dedication, His willingness to subject Himself to Thy will, to humble Himself, to carry out those things that Thou hast prescribed for Him. And we pray that we may walk that same path and follow the course that You have set out for us. We thank Thee for this bread, which we recognize as a symbol of His life, a life that He gave up, again, in accordance with Thy will. We pray that we would be ever mindful, and that You would be with each of us as we partake. Help us to cleanse our hearts and minds and to spiritually strengthen ourselves through this practice to become more profitable servants unto Thee. Please forgive us of our sins, we pray, and hear our prayer now as we offer it to Thee through Thy beloved Son and our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand and ask our brother Luke if he will offer prayer for the wine.
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come to Your throne of grace at this time in remembrance of Thy Son and the symbol of the cup. We see the example of His dedication to Thee, His sacrifice even to the shedding of His blood and the sacrifice of His life. And we pray that we would show the same dedication in our life, that we would look to His example and follow His pattern to the best of our ability. We pray for Thy guidance and direction in this endeavor until the day of His return, and may it be our great honor to be found acceptable to serve in the kingdom which He will establish. Please watch over us and guide us until then. We thank You once again for Thy Son and His sacrifice through the mediation of His name, even Jesus the Christ. Amen. Close our service this morning with the singing of hymn 205, after which we'll ask Brother Dominic if he will close with prayer. Hark, 'tis the watchman's cry, wake, brethren, wake. Jesus Himself is nigh, wake, brethren, wake. Hymn 205.